Now there is only one artifact from the future, besides our clothing, the woman said. She held up an ordinary data crystal and stepped forward to hand it to a technician surrounded by cameras. Show this a few minutes from now. Of course, we are both also artifacts from the future, the man said. Though we're just people, the woman joined hands with him. You have many ways to extract information from us. There was no way, the woman said, to make us not know things that might be potentially dangerous to your survival. They looked into each other's eyes and said in unison, So goodbye. They both slumped to the floor. The next few minutes were a fast, confusing drama of swarming medics, stretchers, helicopters, but Rory hardly noticed it, lost in thought. She saw what Pepe had meant. Sure, it was a hoax, audacious and mind-bendingly expensive. But of course, she wouldn't blow the whistle. There was a big chance it might work. It might become a self-fulfilling prophecy, so long as the secret was kept. All she wanted to know was how they managed it. How could they put all the pieces together without somebody spilling the beans? Who was in on it? Certainly not fools like Davis. She watched the crystal the dead woman had handed the technician, and indeed it showed their landing, speech, and death. At least she hoped that was part of the choreography, and they hadn't called upon two people to sacrifice their lives to make the hoax more realistic. The introduction to the scene was convincingly futuristic to her eyes and ears, the voiceover with an unearthly accent, the beginning and ending shots showing a planet of peace and plenty. Cities floating in the air over forests and fields restored to nature. But then the throwaway spaceship showed how big a budget they'd had to play with. The sun was breaking through the clouds, a rare thing. Everybody off the roads. She decided to take a walk. Go up to the astronomy building and see what happens. Maybe reckless, but she had a feeling that the government was going to be a little too busy to pick on her for a while. The building was deserted. Everyone was probably down at the Cape. Pepe's office was still unlocked. Feeling a little bit guilty, voyeuristic, she went in to snoop around. On a work table, under the window, there were three neat stacks of paper, the last assignments and finals for Pepe's three classes. There was a letter to his secretary, detailing the disposition of these papers, thanking her, and saying goodbye. He would be in touch. Rory had a feeling that he would not be. Coda. In a quiet corner of Barcelona, the man who was not Pepe Parker relaxed in a situation of modest wealth and perfect privacy. He had a cook, a servant, and a gardener, and walls of books in various languages. Buried in the basement, there was a weapon that would turn a man into a torch. With his full white beard and darkened skin, no one would connect him with the youthful Cuban scientist who had run the coming committee and mysteriously disappeared. He spent most of his time reading, in the garden when it was fine, or in front of the fire when it was cool. Sometimes he dined out with beautiful women who thought he was a retired scholar, independently wealthy. Which was true, as far as it went. In a safe deposit box at Banco Nacional de Catalunya, there was a single sheet of paper which only he could read. It had a schedule of conservative stock purchases and the names of the winners of the Kentucky Derby for the next 50 years.